Presented by the Treaty One Development Corporation, this is the Treaty One Nation podcast. You're listening to episode 11, where I am joined with Elder Charles Nelson from Roseau River First Nation. Hello to everybody out there and all of our relatives across Turtle Island. My name is Taylor. I'm from Broken Head Ojibwe Nation here in Treaty One territory. And you're listening to the Treaty One Nation podcast. Welcome and bindige to the podcast. Throughout the summer, we've had some pretty amazing conversations with our guests that have shed light on Treaty One and the 150th anniversary of its inception. And you have tuned into every single episode, of course, up until now, so you are totally up to date on what is going on, right? Right. We've been joined by elders within Treaty One who have shared their thoughts with us on the treaty and what we can do to improve and respect it in the future. If we can continue to experience the same disrespect as we have been over the last 150 years, how can we truly reach a point of truth and reconciliation? Of course, right? Of course. So today, I am happy to sit and talk with Elder Charles Nelson of Roseau River Anishinaabe First Nation in Treaty One to chat about what he remembers that happened during August 3rd, 1871. These stories that were passed down to him from his grandfather, his grandfather's grandfather, and so on. He gets all into it. So sit back, grab some tea and some bannock as Charles and I reflect on how Treaty One has affected our lives.
So I said my name, two of my names in our language, and my clan. And then how many times I went into the Midday Lodge to get a degree. And then I also, I was a Shkabewis helper to my late uncle, Gejianakwit. And so I was that's how my background information, I have that background for some of the work that I did. My great-grandfather, his brother was a Sine Nin. He was a young man at the time of treaty. And so he was charged to remember some of the things that were negotiated on our behalf in the time of before treaty, and maybe even after a short while after the treaty. We had lots of animal life, birds and fish, and everything was there was lots of an abundance of, when the birds fly by, it would darken the sky. So many birds, you see. That's how the description. And then the waters where the sturgeon spawned, they're so thick that you could, just an expression that you wouldn't touch the bottom of the river. There were so plenty of sturgeon in the river. And that's in our reservation here. But nowadays, That's because of colonialism. We lost the spawning of the sturgeon in our Roseau Rapids area. In Dominion City, is between here and Rapids. There's two parcels of land there, and Dominion City is in between there. They had a, it's almost like a, that's part of our livelihood, that time, you know, somebody's, what we had in terms of the, we had a relationship with the land. We each depended on each other to survive. We had a structure of family. We have, like, our clan is Bishu. So that's our family structure. Bishu is a family. So in that structure is elders. And each clan had a different, perhaps a different trait or quality about them. Some of them might be visionaries. Some of them might be chiefs, or maybe a local chief, or and then some out somebody who does external chief, internal chief, and then some of the different kinds of warriors,
teachers,
and singers, and builders. We sent some of our people to the negotiations. And what happened at negotiations was we had been there for a while and started to hear what the negotiations was all about. And we spoke for different items in the treaty. And we weren't getting anywhere. They wanted us to sign this pre-written document, like which was the treaty drafted by the Canadian government. And then they, and that's what our people didn't want to sign. So they were on their way out of the that area and not sign a treaty because it wasn't. That good. I think his name was James, somebody, James, the commissioner. He wanted to promise more. And so the promises that he made were because how we wanted things to be. People asked for lands so that they could settle and farm the land. So when the colonizers came, we were generous and kind people. So we allowed them to use the land for their farming, and that's how they. So all of our lands around here at Roseau River is all farms. So the what we relied upon on the earth, whether it's rabbits or whether it's deer or what we relied upon, the different medicines and stuff, you know, or different kinds of food that we harvested from the land. In 1903, we lost 12 sections of land. Not that we wanted to give it up, but they just generally just took it. And so we had a settlement regarding that 1903 land surrender. It was called, and so they gave us some money, and then they gave us an avenue for us to get more land. I think 8,000 acres. I think somewhere close to there, 8,000 acres. More land that we could buy. But, you know, there's, at the time of treaty, we were told that we were supposed to get 160 acres for a family of five. So that family of five, you divide that into 160 acres, you get 32 acres per person. Our reserve in our language is called Ishkunigan, that which is left over. And that's how a reserve is in our language. That's what it means, Ishkunigan. Our people were going to, were asked to stay and continue to negotiate the treaty. So there was some things said, what was going to be included in the treaty. And then we were supposed to have exclusive rights in our jurisdiction. Somehow the Canadian government, they took away lots of our rights away. And we have less resources, less lands per person, and less resources per person. Canada awarded in 1930 the Natural Resources Transfer Act. And then they gave all the resources to the provinces and nothing to First Nations. And so it impacted us. At the time of the treaty, when they complained to the MP, and then the MP listens to their constituents, and so nothing got done. They owe us lots for lands that were supposed to be our lands. And we're not getting anything for our lands. We have to tell people what's happening. We want to be able to strengthen our treaty. If we're going to teach our young people about our treaty, we should have it taught in our school. You know, our young people, if they're not equipped, our schools are not equipped. Are not equipped to teach our about treaty. You know, we have to give them some more our knowledge, and we have to say things that might disturb some people. And I think sometimes people wouldn't take it very light. They would. Need a lot of strength to hear us, because we've been a kind people and sharing people. Now we have to tell the truth, and we have to be strong about it. A strong treaty is when we're talking the same language and we're teaching the same language. And our children, they're losing the language. And they're losing some more, but we're going full blast all the time, you know, trying to be learning the language.
Miigwech to Charles for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. If you would like more information about the podcast, the Treaty One Celebrations, or more knowledge on Treaty